This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
This is episode 17.
All righty, here we are. Let's do a quick tech check. I am live, Allison Crow. This is the Better Life, Better Work episode number 17. And I almost didn't do it. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if it even gets published. But let's make sure the technology works first. I'm using VLive today. You know why? Because it was easy. It was the easiest one to do. It was the simplest. Okay, it says that I'm working. And oh, look, there's the sound. It's working, so let me get that off. Thank you for your patience. Hello, Helen. Hello, Vicky. Hello, Muddy. Hello, Lucinda. Okay, you guys, I'm going to drop some truth today. What is truth? What is truth? So let me set some context. My name is Allison Crow. I have been a coach for 11 full years, and I am at the beginning of my 12th year of coaching. Before coaching, I was a teacher. Before I was a teacher, I went to graduate school and got a graduate degree. Before that, obviously I went to undergrad, and before that I was in high school and I played basketball because I was the best at it. I was All-State MVP, not in the top district, but in my district I was All-State MVP. And I didn't play volleyball because I was no good at it. Since I've been out of my first 4 years of coaching were with real estate hardcore sales coaching, I did extremely well. I overachieved, I kicked ass, I was good, I was energized, I was vibrant up until the end. And then I switched everything up and have been working in the online space for myself for quite some time. And since I have left the larger company, I have grossed revenue of approximately $175,000 to $179,000 a year consistently every single year since I left. And I have netted approximately $90,000 to $97,000 a year. So giving some real numbers for some context. I don't have one of those bazillion dollar businesses. I don't have a lot of complication in my business because complication overwhelms me. I have a little bit of amazing support from Maria and Elise in my business. Maria holds my heart and manages Elise, and Elise kicks ass with the technology and my producing and these kinds of things. And here's what I've noticed. And I know this is not just me. So the other thing is I'm middle-aged. I'm 45 years old. I think I love being 45 years old. And the woman that I was at 35 had a totally different body and stamina and energy, and also knew a lot less spiritually. I knew a lot cognitively. And as I was at the old company and leaving, something in my soul was itching. And here I am again, something in my soul itching. I don't have notes today or have a script. I really did think about just saying, you know, screw it. I'm not going to do the show today. And I'm already feeling a little vulnerable because last week's show was kind of melancholy and real. And what I know after talking with many colleagues I know and talk and friends I talk with on a daily basis, but this week I also had two specific people I haven't spoken to in many, many years reach out to me and share with me their experiences. And it is so in contrast to the messages we are bombarded with from industries and the leaders and many, many millennials. What we see in our feed, especially in the personal growth and personal development world. And I'm in the personal growth and personal development world. But if I see another person say hustle, I'm going to fucking puke. I'm not saying don't do the work. But as a recovering overachiever who's recently relapsed, and when I say relapsed, what I mean is that instead of having fun and doing what works, I believed some story that more is better. I believed that I had to expand my business even more, that I had to, I don't know, I just believed all the hype. Good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. And for a long time, a lot of the things that I've done, I mean, everything I've done has been real. I'm not up here bullshitting anybody. I'm not being fake to any of you guys. And a lot of times I have had both the energy and heart, and I still have a heart. I still love what I do. I love having the conversations I have. Jerome says, yes, can we give this fascination with hustle a freaking rest? And I don't, it's not like I even buy into it, but it's so pervasive. And I'm sure I've contributed without using the word hustle, but it's so, you know, just by being successful, just by making a certain amount of money, just by, I don't have the answers yet and I don't have the whole clarity. So I'm hoping to get some of the clarity, but a lot of this has come through. So this last 10 days with my Share Your Heart, Show Your Work community, I have held the 10-day Show Your Heart, Show Your Work Live Challenge. And I ask a series of prompts and questions, and a lot of them are inner work questions. It's about really going deeper before we get to the strategy and these kinds of things. And as I watch and I listen, I myself am answering some of the own questions. And when I look at my business from a human perspective versus a spiritual higher self perspective, which was one of the prompts, I hear a couple of things. So my human perspective says that I need to scurry. I need to catch up. And that phrase has been going through my head, that I'm behind. And it's so funny because as I tell my clients who are doing this 10-day challenge and the emails come out, you know, once a day for 10 days, some of them need a breath and they're like, I'm behind. And I'm always saying there's no such thing as behind. And the reason I'm saying that is because this year I had to put a portion of my taxes on a credit card. And I'm making up the story about it, that I'm behind. And there's some relevant truth to the fact that I have a little bit more debt than I'm comfortable with. And so it's had me, like, the human perspective is, you know what? Grind it out. Get her done. Make it happen. And in the past, when I have done the Share Your Heart, Show Your Work Live Challenge, and then it leads to the class, and there's this big, long, quote, launch, I have had not huge numbers, but I've had, frankly, numbers that would pay off that debt. I've had results, financial results from launching this class that would pay off that debt. But when I think about doing what it takes And that's another like hashtag, do what it takes. Are you willing to do what it takes? And I've said that probably before. My whole body screams. My whole being screams. And it doesn't scream no. It doesn't scream don't do it. It says find another way. Muddy says past stories feature expectations. Because two Septembers ago, I made $70,000. Does that mean I have to do it again today? Would I love to make $70,000? Yeah, that would create a lot of human financial ease. But knowing the way that I did it in the past, I'm not, I can't go there. My soul cannot do it. My brain cannot do it. I cannot, when I did it before, it was all and energized. And where I am, I'm just being real with my clients. And one of the gals that signed up said, I've never signed up for this before. I've seen you do it three times. And this is the first time because you're doing it at a slower pace. What I know from listening and talking and connecting over the last year with many of my colleagues, I have two friends, and one of them last year at this time, one of my colleagues had a million dollar business, and she walked away from it because the hustle was killing her, because she was sick of buying into this hype that more is better and that bigger is bigger. And I did a Blab interview at the time. It might have made it to YouTube, but she talked about leaving that style of business and working a completely different way, right? So she built this million-dollar enterprise and then she tore it down. And like the traditional coaching mindset says, oh, self-sabotage. And I'm not buying the traditional coachy hype. Ooh, Angela Paris said it perfectly. I so understand that. You make more money, but you pay with your life. And I know that there are ways to make beautiful and perfect amounts of money without paying with your life. I don't necessarily believe that I have to work smarter or harder. There is a way, and I'm into tuning into what the new way is for me. So here's what I'm finding amongst my colleagues, especially the ones who are in their 40s to mid 50s, and who have been doing this for a while and have had some success. They have achieved. I also know many men who have done this too, by the way. This is not just women. So this is not just perimenopause shit. That adds to it. And men certainly have their own hormonal changes, but I noticed many men too. Last November, when I was enrolling for Camp Starheart, I texted a very, very, very successful friend of mine who does live events and normally has a couple of hundred people. And I said, how's enrollment going? Because my enrollment was really sucking wind. It ended up being great, but it was less than the year before. And in my mind, I think about, well, isn't it supposed to be bigger? Isn't it supposed to grow? Isn't it supposed to double in size? And my live event actually shrunk in size. And in story, it was amazing, but I texted him and I said, how's enrollment going? And he said, it's harder than it's ever been. I have noticed a shift in the market since the election. This is, again, a part of my human self, but I've noticed a shift in the market. I've noticed a shift in what I'm willing to pay for since the election. And it was interesting to see my friend who has always sold out his events saying, this is really challenging. And it was, but it gave me as like, oh, I'm not alone. Another one of my mentors has a program that she's done for 20 years and it's always had a wait list. And this spring she had to cancel it because she only had one registrant. I mean, something that has always had a wait list that people look forward to. And she had to cancel it because she had a registrant or only one person. And so we've noticed a shift in the market. There could be a whole reason for that shift in the market. There could be, there could be this overall subconscious. I mean, I got a text from a young person last night in my life that I love that said, I'm staying up late worrying about these things. How can I relax? And this person was worried about the political climate in America. I know many of my colleagues have felt overcoached and burnout. Newt says the post-election shift is real. Well, what was interesting, so for me, real estate was such a good teacher because I started out in real estate in 2003 and I had my license till 2013. And in 2005-06, the market shifted. And overnight, I remember sitting in the office and the woman across from me had this huge team, did millions of dollars in business. And overnight, it felt like business dried up. And in discussing, not in a victim way, but in discussing with some of my colleagues, it feels like it's taking more effort, more time, more energy, and more money to create and convert clients, especially if we want to do it in a heart-based way, because heart-based people don't want to sell anything to anybody that doesn't want to be sold. We want to respect the soul. We want to make it an authentic and right aligned choice. So there's this element, is there a shift? Why is it so much harder? I'll tell you the truth, my painting retreats always are sold out. I have 8 to 10, sometimes 12 people at my painting retreats. I have 5 this time, 5. There's a big difference in the revenue that is created. You know, as a self-employed person, there is a cost to run the program. There's a physical, emotional, mental, and financial cost to run any program. There's a cost to do this podcast. There's a cost to showing up. And when, just from a back under behind the curtain, business planning, it's the last 3 or 4 clients in the program that make it profitable, right? That's what makes it profitable. So you, of course, the reality is I want my offerings to fill to the brim. I want my offerings to fill. I want my offerings to sell out. And when they undersell, it does, honestly, it feels, it's so embarrassing to admit this to you guys, but this stuff happens. And it doesn't just happen to new people. It happens to experienced people. And if nobody else is talking about it, at least that I know of, they'll talk to me about it behind the scenes, but most people are scared to death to come out here and admit, oh yeah, my program only half sold. And I felt like I was suffocating because I was expecting to make $14,000 and I only made 4. And it cost me 6 to run it. It does. Shanti says it feels like a punch in the gut. And it does, it knocks a little bit of the wind out of you and it starts to stir up the fear. And then I take a breath and I listen to spirit. Now, here's what's interesting. As a 25-year-old, 28-year-old, 32-year-old, 35-year-old, my filter of spirit was very rah-rah and just be positive. It was everything will work out. And it still is everything will work out. And it is there, punch in the gut, I see you. One of my colleagues who I spoke with on the phone for about an hour and a half the other day said, I just want the truth. I'm just seeking truth. I'm not just seeking positivity. I think Jerome posted something today on his wall and he said, you know, the ego is actually spiritual. The ego is not bad. And so often in personal and professional development and spirituality rules, we don't allow the shadow in. We don't talk about the half of life that is shitty. And if you do, you're accused of being a victim and you're not given any tools other than trade up or change your thinking, change your life. Love you, Dr. Dyer. But at some point, we're leaving a gap. We're not teaching people how to hold the space for the discomfort. We're not teaching people how to just be, how to not... I saw something, just push through it. You know what, my friend Malia called me yesterday. She saw my underachieving post, like, I'm gonna underachieve. Do you know how hard it is for me to underachieve? And Malia called, she's never on Facebook, but she saw it and she's like, what's up? Because she knows, not that she was worried that I was underachieving, but she knows that I just create prolifically. And we had a beautiful talk, and she's been going through her own, like, stressful. She's been moving her parents out of their homes. Her father-in-law died last year in a wreck. Her mother-in-law's was in that wreck and had to move. And then she had to get her parents out of her house and get them moved, and graduating daughters. And she's had her own life, you know, her head in life, in these events of life that happen to all of us at different times and spaces. And she said two things. She said, I want to share with you two things, Allison, and you guys, I just get chills. The first one is chop wood, carry wood. Chop wood, carry wood. And when I say don't quit, that's what I mean. And I'm so tired of hearing bust through, like we can conjure this energy. Or, and I even say, what is, you know, you're a magician, how would you handle this, like, if you were a magician? And you know what? The magician and we would chop wood and carry wood. I'm going on with my class, but I'm going to do it in a chop wood, carry wood way. I'm going to, instead of shoving it down everybody's throats, getting it over as fast as possible, I'm going to take a long summer stroll with it. I don't know if it will work. Maybe it'll fail. Who knows? But I'm going to chop wood, carry wood. And then the second thing she said is, when everything is falling apart, know that it's actually coming together. And I started the year with this really big excitement about my business, about getting my health back, because finally the burnout wear down was coming off. I was getting my vitality back. I wasn't feeling depressed anymore. And so I go into this year, and I remember being in Calistoga at a retreat. I was so excited to put up my new painting retreat. And I go on the back end of my website that has worked wonderfully for years, and it gives me an error code. And my forms and my payment all of a sudden aren't working. They worked last week, but they're no longer working. And it took 2.5 weeks for a combination of me, mostly my team, and two or three people behind the scenes where my server was hosted, to realize that my server was antiquated. I'd been in this business so long that my original hosting was antiquated, and it would no longer support the forms that I had been using. And so we began to look and moving everything over. But to move everything over, I realized that the way my website was built was antiquated, and it wouldn't fit in the new structures. And so that has set us off on this behind the scenes, right? So, like, I say my foundation is still firm and strong, and this is what I can trust in. This is what I can trust in, that my relationship with spirit is, I'm still talking to spirit. I can trust that even when times are hard and shadowy, I can be real, and I can nurture my mindset without having to shove it through the make it happen hole. I know that I am supported and loved both by my husband. If I walked into my husband today and said, let's put the house on the market, I want to move in, I want to change our lifestyle completely, he would probably actually say, I've been waiting for you to say this. But he would say, okay. He once said, I don't care if you're a waitress, just as long as we live in our means. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to sustain the income that I've made for the last 12 years, I put a lot of pressure on myself to not go backwards financially. Like, who makes up that fucking story? And so my foundation is there, but even my 2x4s of the framework which a lot of new people are just setting up, right? So it's given me this compassion because new people are just setting that up. But when you've been doing this for however many years, it's so nice to be able to just swoop in and show up and do the work, and all the systems and structures are there. And it like slapped me over the head to be able to have to go back in and scrape down the house and move it over and begin rebuilding it. In the middle of filling a painting retreat, filling and delivering and leading my one live event of the year, right at tax season, like, Allison, maybe you could use a marketing calendar and spread this shit out. It's just real life. And I notice not so much my body isn't leading, but when my scarcity leads, when my hustle leads, when my I have to do or be enough leads, my heart responds by beating faster. My head responds by worrying about the future. My cortisol starts rising up and my thyroid drops. I did go to the doctor. My doctor had to put me on a higher level of thyroid medicine. And what I know is I'm not alone. I'm not going to call or out anybody else out from behind the scenes, but I have had conversation after conversation, and this is not just in the online world. I had a conversation with a realtor the other day that I coached 11 years ago. And she's fabulous in her business. And she does an amazing job for her community and her customers and her husband and her kids. And she said, I'm falling apart at the seams. My marriage is struggling. My business, I'm having to work harder to get the same amount of money. And I've built this thing that I have to support. I talked to another person yesterday that is, she's an incubator for authors, and her business is starting to slow and trickle too. She's working with clients, but when there's nothing on the forefront, not to mention she's got her own health things that she's been exploring every modality to work. And she's very involved in the politics, and she feels like she's sucking wind too. And then sweet friends like Emma, I don't know if you're still here, Emma, but Emma sent me a message, and she sent me an article about how these online entrepreneurs we're driving ourselves in. I can't remember the language it used, but we're driving ourselves into burnout. Because even when you take time off, right? So everybody says, oh, take a vacation. That was another one this morning. It was like, you'll be a better entrepreneur if you take a vacation. Well, let me tell you what a vacation looks like when you run your own business. And this is not meant to be a complaint. And it's not always this way, but there are seasons, okay? Especially when it's all coming apart so that it can come together. Hey. So let me tell you what taking a vacation. So I spent 5 days in Mexico on a beach, not plugged into my business. I did read a book. Normally I read 5 books. But it felt like drinking to escape the feelings that were really there. It felt like trying to use the sun and the sand instead of just the avoidment to push down the reality, to numb that there's great discomfort in my heart, my life, and my pocketbook right now. And then it felt like, oh, I recognize this comfort, so I better fucking coach myself. This is the overachieving part, right? Because an overachiever can't just unplug and come back to it Monday. An overachiever tries to coach herself or himself, tries to have the best mindset, tries to pray their way out of it. And my friend Stacey Nelson talks about active surrender and this infinity loop. And the thing about overachievers is we go back to the past and see what we've accomplished. And then we come to the future and we try to do it again. And we spin and we spin and we spin in the future and the past, in the future and the past. And we don't run around with regret about the past because we've been so fucking badass in the past. There's only up to go. But being in that future causes anxiety and stress. And active surrender is coming back to that middle point where you just take a fucking breath. Where you take a fucking breath. When I get into my future, I think I shouldn't publish this. It shouldn't be a podcast. It's negative. It's blah, 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 blah. It's not as good as the past ones were. It's not as good as the ones where you prepare. People won't want to sign up for your class because why do they want to work with a coach who's in the middle of a fucking breakdown, whose business is lower than it's been in 12 years? When I come back to that center point, I hear chop wood, carry wood. I hear one breath. Ha! Look at this, Mandy Lito. Hold on, let's see if I can get the sticker. Oh, I can't. Mandy sends me stickers all the time from London. It's such a sweet treasure to get in the mail. This is what it says on my desk. I love that. Okay, so I have a sticker from Mandy that says, one breath, one step, repeat. One breath, one step, repeat. And what if that were a viable way of creating business? The other sticker I have is from Tammy Judd Jenny, and it says, you are loved beyond measure. And what if just being here now is enough? What if? So I told my assistants to really get behind the scenes. I told my assistants in early May that I needed to take a month off of paying them for June. Because I needed to be able to pay my mortgage. And I have some money coming in, but I'm used to having a lot of money coming in, and it's really slim pickings right now. And so I'm in real estate. Gary Keller taught us red light, green light. And I'm in a red light place as far as spending. How can I create on a budget without going into scarcity? And they were so appreciative that I told them early, but it's embarrassing to admit. In my mind, I've gone, well, how am I going to continue the podcast that I committed to do? Because I don't know how to do the editing. And that's what I pay Elise and her amazing skills for. Right. And so here we go again. Right. And then I come back to one breath. One step, repeat. You are loved beyond measure. One breath, one step, repeat. You are loved beyond measure. What do I want you to know today? I realize I'm just rambling. I want you to know that if you are finding yourself striving and hustling and nexting and in any shame about your business, dropping or the size of your roster or the size of your income, that you are loved beyond measure and that you are enough and that everything is falling apart so that it can come together. I want you to know that you can take a moment and breathe. I want you to know that you are not alone. And there are some really big names with expensive marketing, graphic design, and systems that are sucking wind. There are others that are doing great right now. It's their season of flow. But for those of you that are in an extended ebb, that are feeling overly sensitive to the energies of the earth, your business, your life, your situations, you are not alone. For those of you that are scared, I have been afraid. And there's a difference between planning out of fear and just allowing the afraidness. So one of the things that I want to encourage you to do if you are afraid, because I am afraid. You want to know what I'm afraid of right now? I just offered this class and I have one person for the coaching signed up and one person from the class. I'm afraid that I won't have at least 5 people for the coaching and that I won't, you know, have at least 10 people for the class. Used to, I'm shooting for 100. But I'm afraid. And I don't have to scurry around and take action fueled by the fear. I can sit and say one breath. There, there, fear, I see you. I will not leave you. What's the next step? And the next step is take that breath, take another breath, and show up. One breath, one step, repeat. Reach out to a friend. I texted a friend the other day. My husband wasn't even home and the dogs were being just fine. And it was starting to rain and I just needed to get out of my house. Like, I'm here so much because I work here and I forget, like, oh, I haven't left the house in 3 days. So I got in the car to go somewhere and I realized I didn't have anywhere I wanted to go. And I wanted to eat at home because I didn't want to go eat fast food. And so I just drove to the end of my driveway, which is really about 50, not even 50 yards long. It's about 30 yards long. And I drove to the end of my driveway and I parked and I texted my angel sisters and said, I escaped to the end of my driveway. And I learned at that moment that one of my good friends often goes, actually two of my good friends often go and hide. I think we're having some tech glitches. Come on, Facebook, help us out here. They often go and hide in their cars at the end of their driveways too. And I realized I wasn't alone. And so, if you are stretched, you can handle this and be tender and gentle with yourself. Hi, Jason, good to see you, sweetie. Shanti says, Quinn said, send you a hug. He's 8 and he hears your magic. Amina says, lots of recovering overachiever love from London. Yes. So this is what I don't have a plan. I don't have any. I just want us to acknowledge that there is a valid way of creating in our life and in our work. That can help us remember we're enough, that we don't have to prove to ourselves that that enrolling a $20,000 or $100,000 or a $2,000 client is what makes you amazing. I've totally considered this. I've been playing around with, like, what would it look like if Bill and I really downsized? And I'm not talking size, I'm talking financially. Like, if we bought a really inexpensive house, and buying an inexpensive house is cheaper than renting where we are and where we would want to go. But what if we bought a really inexpensive house? Because he always said, I just need you and the dogs and the Tempur-Pedic mattress, which is already paid for. And I've been experimenting. What if we did that? What if we got rid of everything and simplified, and we made our money situation so easy? Because, and I, not that I stopped working, but that there is no tension whatsoever. What if? And some people say, oh, we'll get a job. For me at this point, getting a job is, I have considered that. I don't need to get a job. It's not, the job would create more tension because it's still easy for me to create. It's easy for me to create income. And what could it be like if I weren't sending so much out the front door as the income's coming in the back door or vice versa? Jason says, I'm unemployable. Exactly. I'm unemployable too. I actually thought about emailing a friend of mine that owns a company and and asking him if, because he follows me on Facebook, would he, not would you, but am I unemployable? How does it feel when you think about it, when you turn into the version of you that is living into that reality? Great question, Jerome. I think, you know, it's interesting because this is one of the things that Spirit is allowing me to do. I don't have to decide anything right now, and you don't either. And what I love is that I can contemplate options and breathe in between those options and find the feel-good place, right? And what's different for me is in the past, my overachieving, and I'm a problem-solving brain, right? So my brain thinks about 18 solutions for every problem. It just does it really quick. It's one of the reasons I'm a good strategist for my clients, and I can kind of help, you know, I can help see the Rubik's Cube in a lot of different ways. And so as I, what's happened in the past is I think about those options and instantly I can tune in and find the feel good one. And I really knew the feel good. And ever since all these frameworks have fallen and little things are not working, I have heard Spirit say, I'm widening the path. And it may, like I'm going through the desert, like I'm going into the desert. And it's in a different way. And so it's like I've heard, don't be afraid, but it's going to feel sparse. And so when I send my ping out, when I send my ping to the universe for the alignment, right? Like I'm my being is checking in and looking for the right alignment, Jerome, right? So I'm looking, as I consider, I'm looking for the feel good. And I haven't felt the zing. I haven't felt the zing. I finally found the zing for the class to go ahead and do it over 14 weeks or however long it is, to do it long and slow over the summer. Like that, and that consideration was just foreign to me because normally I do Share Your Heart, Show Your Work in 6 weeks. We do 2 sessions a week. We get her done and then we roll up to the mastermind and blah, 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 blah. Here's what will help me do find the feel good. One breath, one step, repeat. One breath, one step, repeat. And sometimes take a step away from the computer, take a step away from the brain. I had so much fun last night. Bill and I we picked some show on Netflix and we watched the first 3 episodes of it. And it was so nice to get in a fiction story that had nothing to do with personal growth or development or spiritual growth. It was so nice to unwind. And then actually, and I don't know if Jason is still here, but Jason Goldberg is teaching a class right now about playful prosperity and play. That play is the way for me to create again. That I have been working too much, working too hard, and I have not had I have not allowed myself the enjoyment. So I feel joy when I'm directly here talking to you, and I feel joy when I'm on my one-on-one clients, but this space in between, which is where I normally had a lot of feel good, I had a lot of feel good in the imagining, I had a lot of feel good in the dreaming, I've only felt dread. So one of the things that I've been doing that I hadn't done before is when I wake up and let the dogs out, I go and sit on the couch and I meditate. And this morning, you guys, it was hilarious. I decided to try something new thanks to some video I saw. I saw a dad online oming to his baby and it calmed his baby down. And so while I was sitting, we have this couch from 1962 that just stinks. It smells like old couch, plus my dog sits on it. And so I sit on it and I kind of sink in it, but it supports my back really well. So I'm sitting there and the dogs go out and they eat and they do their business and they come back in whenever they're done. They both crawl up on both sides of me. And this morning I was sitting in a meditation and instead of just breathing, I was oming to calm myself. I was experimenting with oming. And Leroy Brown, I have not seen Leroy do this since the first year we got him, but that dog comes in and hears me om. He did a little head tilt. What the heck are you doing, mama? It was so funny and it just made me laugh. And that moment of laughter where Leroy was laughing at my oming, I knew that this new morning meditation with the dogs is going to be crucial for me. It's going to be Perfect. And then the other thing I decided to do, and Spirit helped me see, is the rescue puppy. And so once a year, Bill and I rescue puppies with Legacy Boxer Rescue. We're very big in believing that there are plenty of dogs that need to be rescued, even purebred. So today, as soon as I finish this, I'm going to drive down to Fort Worth and I'm going to pick up a 4-month-old boxer puppy that I probably have no business fostering with my level of energy and the amount I want to create and work. But I heard Spirit say, the puppy will remind you to be in the present moment. Yes, the puppy is going to be a little extra work, but it's also extra love and extra play. And I thought that was so, my husband looked at me like, I don't really want to do it, but I know you do, and you've got to do all the work. And I will at some point probably complain about being tired. But I heard Spirit say, I'm bringing you puppy medicine. And puppy medicine is, life is hard work, you guys. It is. There's a lot we got to do. And life is exquisite joy. And life is shit piles on the carpet. And life is having to separate your dogs while they eat. And life is also laughter and the fun of a roly-poly puppy. Life is cuddles at night. Life is being woken up at 6 a.m. to feed your dogs. Like, there's nothing better than a puppy to teach you the responsibility of being a human being, contributing, creating your own life and contributing to others, but also slow the fuck down and play. Have a good time. Life is hard work and exquisite joy. And this is my beef right now with the personal development world. And I love ease. Ease is on my to feel list every single day. But I've noticed that I start to feel shame if there's not ease, like I'm doing something wrong spiritually. And then I hear Spirit come and say, darling, I love you. I've got you. You can hold the disease without getting disease in your body. And so what if? What if, you guys, what if, I don't want to say let it be easy, that feels too trite right now, but what if we knew that we'd be okay? What if we chop wood, carry wood, and that, and we remembered that everything could be falling apart so that it's coming back together, that we wake up in the morning and can be new again. And that even if we chop wood, carry wood all day long, like we did yesterday, that we're still new again. What if we remember that we're loved beyond measure? What if we remember that every challenge we've ever gone through, we've made it out of? What if we realize that there's more than one option to any challenge, that we have limitless options? What if we knew that we could reinvent ourselves? What if we knew that we could surround ourselves with beauty and be refilled? What if we remembered that our sacred contracts come to us no matter what? What if we remembered that we could breathe and in a moment be encircled, remember that we already are encircled by Spirit? What if we could focus on our own work instead of comparing ourselves to others? What if we could nurture our insides? What if we could take small bites and Kaizen steps? What if we could meditate often? What if we could ask for what we want and need? You know what I did today? Like, I still feel so much shame, but in my last email, I know not everybody's going to take the class, but I also know I've given tremendous fucking value to my clients. And so I asked if they would consider leaving a tip in the tip jar. I got a tip. Actually, it's sitting on my phone right now. Someone sent me a $50 tip for leading them through the challenge. There's no obligation, but if somebody wanted to do an exchange of energy for what they've received, I ask for it. You know what? I could use the extra help, right? Like, why not? Why not? And my ego says, because you don't need to let anybody, you know, I don't know, because the little girl in me thinks that she has to do it all alone. But what if we could ask for what we want and need? What if we could write and create every day? What if we could dare to love of ourselves, if we could dare to trust ourselves. And when I, as I asked my clients to do yesterday, when I look at my 99-year-old self, and I went to my Pinterest board because I have a few pictures of different women up that kind of helped me conjure her. And when I check in with my 99-year-old self, she's laughing, she's smiling, she's got lots of wrinkles and leathery skin because she's been out in the sun enjoying it. She might have even taken up smoking. I don't smoke. But she's certainly raw and beautiful and laughing, and she's not daunted by any challenge. She says, sweetheart, you've created this mess, and this mess is the masterpiece of your life. There's nothing to worry about. How much fun can you have in the middle of this mess? And so that's what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to take one breath, one step, and repeat. And I'm remembering not only my values of ease, but I can't force ease onto the situation. But you know what I can do? I can bring in some fun. I can bring in some play. I can bring in some love. And even today, and I can share my heart. I can tell my truth. One thing I've learned from my clients watching this challenge, because, you know, I forget, because I'm so used to getting up here and talking and sharing with you guys. I forget how many people have a truth they want to share, but they feel so ashamed to share the whole truth. That's one of the reasons today why throughout this video and this audio that I've shared some specific details that most people won't. That I've shared my business numbers. I've shared what's going on in my business. I've shared the information about my taxes and my debt. I've shared the information about my energy. And it's not to get you to feel sorry for me, and it's not a false vulnerability, but I for myself and giving myself permission to just put it all out on the table. Because I think if more of our leaders and more of our parents and more of our gurus would tell some of the truth, we might know how to navigate the shitty times with more self-trust. We could break down in a way that comes together instead of suffering. We could be suffering without the extreme suffering. I don't know if any of that makes sense. But nobody teaches. They just teach us how to shove it through. They don't teach us how to fall apart as a natural part of life. How to let our businesses fall apart as a natural life. How to grieve. You know, there is no right way. And more of us need to be talking about, this is my experience. And I guarantee you more people come out and say, I'm not alone. I am not alone. So I don't know what's going to happen going forward. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to take one breath, one step, repeat. I'm going to take one breath, one step, repeat, and I'm going to try to have as much fun along the way as I can. No shoving through. Didn't work in prom night and won't work in biz. Yes. I'm going to be more like Jason. I'm going to have more fun. I'm going to keep loving all my people. I'm going to rest when I need to. I'm going to create as I'm inspired. And if I'm not inspired to create as prolifically as I have done in the past, and my income goes down according to that, then I'm willing to move. I'm willing to change. I'm not willing to give up my eyelashes, but I am willing to change. I don't know. It's all an experiment. So I just want to thank you. I've got a few minutes to just look back at some of the comments that you guys have sent. I so appreciate you being here with me. I appreciate the witnessing. I hope that I don't even have to hope. I know that in telling my story in its circular, babbly way, that some of you guys will have permission to just be where you are. I know that it doesn't have to take me off the path of where I want to go as a leader and it's as a teacher or even in my income and my client roster, et cetera, that it doesn't have to knock me out of the park. But I know that there has to be a a different way. And more of us leaders need to be letting other people know. We need to let it be both and, right? We can both have a fabulous time and be successful, and we can both be, listen, I'm in a really desert place right now, and I'm finding a different way of succeeding, or I'm failing, and clients still hire you. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. Okay, let me read back some of these. Oh, thank you for the salutes and the loves. Newt named puppy Clifford. We named him Bigwig. They can't, because they can only take people as far as they've been, and they refuse to acknowledge they're falling apart. They can't help others. It's hard to fall apart and feel like you can be a help, because somewhere along the way, we've told that if we don't have our shit together, we can't help. Well, you guys, I don't have my shit together. Your sharing has lifted you high. I'm so glad. Let's go surfing. Oh, Emma, I want to go surfing so bad. I have no budget for getting on a plane to play. Can we surf in my pool? You're such a lover and such a creator and such a gift. I admire you. Oh, thanks, JG. Mwah. Let's see. Thank y'all just so much for holding me. I feel better. Pearl Jones joined. Hi, honey. Yeah. So those of us that are on the recovering overachiever, if you have the energy right now to be in high achiever, Gary V hustle mode, all power to you. More power to you. Take it. Run with it. Go with the flow while the flow is there. And know that when the flow changes its rhythm, it doesn't really go away. It just changes its rhythm. That you can adapt and modify your energy accordingly. That you can rest, that you can be, that you are enough. And I'm telling all myself these things. All myself these things. My response to the young person that texted me about the anxiety and staying up late at night about the politics is the same medicine I give myself. 3 slow, deep breaths. 1 at a time. And then take a step, and then 3 more deep breaths. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. I am headed up and to play. And if you want to sign up for my class, if you want this awesome, amazing, real life coach to help hold your hand on your journey through the summer, you can go to AllisonCrow.com. And at the top header on the right is the thing that says sign up for Share Your Heart, Show Your Work. I'd love to hold your hand after through this summer and gently, with ease and grace and elegance, learn. But we learn at a slower pace, and we implement at a slower pace, so that our bodies and our hearts and our souls can sustain, so that we can hear the divine in between the action, so that we can read between the lines, so that we can have some fun. I love you guys. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.allisoncrow.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.allisoncrow.com/better.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.